All right, all your promises are yes and amen. Amen. All right, so we are going to be doing something different on the first Sunday of the month. We're going to start a kind of like a series, and the topic is going to be the will of God. So what I want to do is just kind of plant some seeds tonight. And then I usually have the first Sunday night, so we'll just kind of build on the topic. I really want to try to, not tonight, but in the future, have it kind of interactive. It's a really hot topic. Understanding the will of God for your life, hearing from God. It's not something we could talk about in one night. But there's some different thoughts out there that, we're going to talk about. So, it's going to, and I'll have a list of some of the books that I got the research out of, outside of the Bible, of course. There's some good books out there that really zero in on how we make decisions and the will of God. I think you'll find it interesting, to say the least. I've been, been looking at this stuff for a long time and kind of have some thoughts on the matter. So we'll share those, and hopefully you guys will have some input as well. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time tonight, and God, all of us, we want to know what your will is, Lord. And of course, you've given us your word, and we know that the word of God contains the will of God. So that's it's a good start. So Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us tonight. Lord, that things would be plain and kind of simple to understand. And Lord, that you would use tonight and the ongoing first Sundays for a while to just teach us how to make good, solid decisions based on your will. So we thank you for these things, and put it all before you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, so we'll be in a couple verses. Right now I want to just start with some examples. I found this, thought it was kind of interesting. There was this reporter who was doing, investigating the citrus industry in Florida. So he started with, how they harvest oranges, things like that, and he came across this guy in a shed that was separating oranges that were coming off a conveyor belt. The big oranges he put in the big hole, the medium oranges he put in the medium hole, the little oranges he put in the little hole, and then the oranges that were defective he put in another hole. So, the reporter is like watching this guy, and he's saying, man, this is like just the most boring job ever. Right? And so finally, he asked the guy, he says, hey, doesn't this like get to you? I mean, how can you stand putting these oranges into those little holes all day long? So the guy said, you don't know the half of it. He said, from time to time I come in until the time I leave, it's decisions, decisions, and decisions. Making decisions. So that man and his oranges illustrates an important point, that life is made up of decisions, right? Some decisions are small, some decisions are huge, right? So from the beginning to the end, it seems that life is nothing but decisions, decisions, decisions. So as I was preparing to study, one question that came up over and over again is, in the midst of all these decisions, how could I know the will of God? Right? We make decisions every day, right? From the time you go to bed till the time you wake up. It's decision after decision. Well, With all the complexities, pressures, and decisions, it's no wonder that people are concerned, right? You know, it would be nice if we could have a hotline to the throne of God, right? Just pick it up. Say, Lord, you know what I'm going through? Could I get some help here? You know, and, you know, like supposedly all the presidents have one on their desk, right? The red phone. You know, don't let anybody pick that phone up, right? But, you know, it's a lot of decisions, wanting to know what God's will is, decision making. So hopefully by the time we're done, and maybe it'll, you know, I hate to do this to you guys, maybe around June, you know, where we could work through it. And, you know, like I said, I'll provide the book list. You guys can go out and get some of these resources and, you know, kind of study right along with what we're doing. But hopefully you'll have a much clearer picture how you can make a choice, right? Quality decisions. So let's look at some of the obvious things that we know are the will of God. All right, so then these are the obvious things. There's a few, you know, I think like six. Salvation is a nice one, right? God's will revealed to us is that people should be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, and I'll read them for you. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." So that's one thing we know for certain. It's God's will for people to get saved. He sent his Son, right, to accomplish that. He paid the price for us. But, you know, it's also God's will that once we're saved, to take the message out to those that aren't saved. So, you know, if you're a little timid or you don't, you know, God hasn't called me to share the gospel, whatever, he has. And, you know, we just have to be prayerful, and, you know, God will lead and guide and direct. And when he opens those doors, we need to be faithful to be that voice for him. The second thing is being spirit-filled, right? We know it's God's will. When we're born again, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And that filled is that continually being filled, being filled. You know, it gives you the thought of a relationship. You know, just growing in that relationship. God just filling you with the Spirit and growing in that. It's God's will that we be sanctified, that we be set apart from the world. All right? 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, "For this is the will of God." There's no doubt there, right? Hey, this is the will of God. Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's the will of God. It's nice that some of this stuff is pretty straightforward, right? Submissive, being submissive. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Peter says, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of men. Two more. Suffering. Oh, that's a good one, right? Everybody jot this one down. Suffering. 1 Peter 2:20. "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." So enduring suffering. And then the last one is rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, where it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So those are some of the obvious ones that are pretty straightforward. And it's kind of nice to have those, right? Because I wish the whole topic on the will of God was that concise and that simple, just straightforward. But, you know, some of it, you know, we'll be talking about, you know, how do I know what job to take? How do I know who to marry? All of these things play into it. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least. And of course, Jesus is the supreme example for all of us, fulfilling the will of God, right? I can give you a few references. John 5:19, John 5:30, and then 1 Peter 4:1-2. So you can jot those down and check those out. Okay, so the question is, do we need a clearer understanding of God's will? Okay, so that question is going to turn into a statement in a couple minutes. Have you ever analyzed your thoughts concerning, say, just for an example, being filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Being Spirit-filled. Yet, it's amazing how many Christians think, there's some thoughts out there that just make you wonder, right? Now, I'm pointing this out not to make fun of people or anything like that, just to show you that there is a need to understand God's will and God's word in a more detailed way. It has to get into, you know, our understanding, right? But, I've sat in churches where I heard people, you know, pray that God would send his Spirit. Well, you know, God, we already have the Spirit of God in us, the Bible tells us, right? Or, you know, give me more of your Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't come in doses. When we're born again, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's this filling as we grow, right? And we're going to get into that more, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, just to understand that, you know, we don't need to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We already have the Holy Spirit in us. And, you know, a lot of times we'll say, well, Lord, give us more of your Spirit. Well, if you think about it logically, how could he do that? Right, we manifest the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So just think about that a little bit as we move on a little bit. How about analyzing some of our prayers or some of the prayers that I've heard? And not that I'm an expert on prayer or, you know, I'm not critiquing it, but sometimes, you know, we pray for things that we already have. Like, God, give me more love. Well, in Romans 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, we have all the love that we need. We just need to do it. You know, it's, you know, part of the problem is that, you know, we know what to do. We just don't do it. Or, you know, God, give me more love so I can love what's his name. But, all right, well, maybe you need to, you know, you need to get past that attitude, right? Give me more love for what's his name. No, you know, the love is there. We just have to operate in it. You guys know what I'm saying? I mean, it was some things we already have, and we're asking God to give us more of it because it's his will. But he's saying, well, wait, you have it. You know, my will is for you to operate in it. So, just things to think about. We ask for more grace. You know, Paul did that. And this is what the Lord told him. He said to me in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So there are some misunderstandings that we're going to look at in really do the best we can to shed some light on them as we look at this topic of knowing the will of God. So I asked that question, do we need a clearer view? But, you know, the answer is that we need a clear understanding of God's word so we can understand what God's will is. Okay? Knowing and understanding God's will through his word is spiritual wisdom. So there's two verses that I want to focus on, and I don't know if I'll get to some questions. I'm going to give you guys a quiz later, so you're not going to be graded on it, but you know, you can't throw anything at me either while I'm giving it to you. But anyway, so Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be unwise or do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? Discerning the will of the Lord is not a matter of feeling or emotion, but a mental understanding, applying our minds to the word of God. That's important to understand that, right? Discerning the will of the Lord is not, like I got this feeling or I got real emotional. No, it's not about that. It's just understanding and applying our minds to the word of God. The word of God, it contains the will of God. Another verse, Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So the Greek word for knowledge really is the usual one that's used mostly in the word, with an added preposition, so it kind of intensifies the meaning. So this is a key point. So this is not an inner impression or a feeling that what Paul is talking about to the Colossian church, but it's a deep, thorough knowledge of the will of God that is finally and completely revealed in the word of God. It's important for us to understand that. You know, trying to discern God's will in your life and in decision making, in every aspect of your life, it's not about a feeling, it's not about an emotion. Pastor Rob said something this morning about emotions. You can't trust them. You know, you can't trust your emotions. But it's important that we understand that it's a deep and thorough knowledge of the will of God that is completely revealed in the word of God. So being in the word, praying, being in the word of God is so critical for believers. If you want even an inkling of what God's will is, right? And you know, we got to start with, we shared those seven that were kind of basic. This is, it comes right out. This is the will of God. You know, we have to get the, what we know down and just keep moving forward and seeking God and seeking his will. Colossians 3:16 is a reference to Colossians 1:9. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace to your hearts to the Lord. So letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom. You know, wisdom is really important in decision making when it comes to the will of God. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in the studies to come. But that reference to wisdom and spiritual understanding in verse 9 of Colossians 1, it's spiritual modifies both wisdom, the ability to to accumulate and organize principles from Scripture, and understanding, which the application of those principles to daily living. So wisdom We take in that wisdom, we accumulate it, we organize it in our heads and in our hearts, these principles of Scripture, right? And then the understanding is the application of that in our daily life. You know, we need wisdom. We need the wisdom from above. We need to kind of ingest it. We need to get it into our heads and into our hearts. And as we make the application, as we're living out our lives, you know, hopefully we're walking in that wisdom from above, that, you know, God is leading us. You know, and it's got to be a daily thing. You know, in the Word, you know, I'm not a computer person, but I know that somebody's got to put information into the computer, right? But the only way to get that information out, you got to operate it. You know, so as the Lord puts that stuff in our heads and our hearts, as we're studying, as we're praying, you know, He's going to speak to our hearts as we're living it out. We get into situations, God is going to be faithful. What do you have to recall for that moment? Do you have something, you know, in your database to deal with that situation? So it's important. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, do you guys believe that? Right? Well, we can all agree on that, right? If you don't know the truth, you can't be free, or you won't be free. So we live in a form of bondage to something false if we don't know the truth. In this case, what many of us believe about God's will is not really what the Bible teaches. You know, I believe, and hopefully I'll be able to communicate that with you over the time that we're going to be doing this, that there's a lot of misconception about discerning the will of God for our lives. A lot of people know what Jesus, you know, that Jesus said those words about truth and being set free, but a lot of those people don't understand what comes before the "and you will know the truth" phrase. So that word "and" means as a result. But as a result of what? So what did Jesus say in verse 31 and 32 as we take it together? Then Jesus said to these Jews, or those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word and are my disciples, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So the important part of that is abiding. You know, if we're not abiding in Jesus' words, if we're not basing everything we believe on God's word, we can't expect to know the truth or experience the freedom that comes from knowing the truth or knowing God's will. You know, and I know it's kind of repetitious, but it's, you know, knowing God's word is critical, guys. So how do you abide, right? You probably can't remember the last time you used the word abide in a sentence or in a conversation. Anybody use it today? Right? I this kind of just stuck out in my mind. Most of us don't tell our kids, "If you abide in my house, you'll live by my rules," right? We don't usually say to our spouses during our wedding anniversary celebrations, "I'm glad we abided together all these years." Doesn't sound too romantic, right? But abide is a time-honored word that I believe its oddness makes us stop and think. The word abide can be translated to live within, to dwell, or to take up residence. So listen to what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you live in my word, or if your life is a genuine reflection of what I say, you are truly my disciples. This means that our conversations, our illustrations, the things we meditate on, ought to be permeated with God's word. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other night. The Super Bowl's coming up. Okay, so I'm thinking, you know, who's going to win, or, you know, just all the stuff going through my head. Then, you know, some of the negative things in the news with the, you know, the incident with the two plane crashes, you know, you just get kind of caught up in, you know, just the, you know, how it affected so many people's lives. But, you know, I have to catch myself because, I'd like to take control of what goes on in my head because eventually it just affects my heart. And, you know, thinking about, you know, having... redeeming the things even that I think about. I thought about, you know, the people who lost loved ones, and, you know, I prayed for them. You know, the Super Bowl, that's just kind of wishful thinking. Who knows it's going to win the game? But, you know, it's taking the time to, think on God's word, or just, you know, think of what God's doing in your life. Giving God more, more space in your head. You know, we think about all kinds of stuff. Some of it's worrying for, you know, but all of that, you know, there's got to be a reason why Jesus said to cast all my cares upon me because I care. You know, he doesn't want us to carry the load. You know, so we pray. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, we really got to find more time to utilize meditating on the word of God, just meditating on what we read this morning, thinking about, you know, as situations, you know, come our way during the day, are we saying, hey, you know what, God, how should I deal with this? Or, you know what, I just read this morning. You know, just giving God more bandwidth in our head and in our heart is so important. If you want to know what the will of God is, you know, it's important for us to cultivate a deeper relationship with the Lord and a deep, you know, a more of a knowledge, a working knowledge of his word. They go together. The beginning of knowing what God wants you to do is knowing what God wants you to do. So let me read that again. The beginning of knowing what God wants to do is knowing what God wants you to do. You know, just knowing God's heart, right? And when you start to know that, you start to understand, you know, what God wants us to know, what he wants us to do. So the exhortation is to be, don't be unwise and don't be foolish, but to understand what the will of God is. Hopefully God's word got your attention when we read Ephesians 5:17. But that's basically what that verse is saying. Hey, don't be foolish. Understand what the word of the Lord or what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish. And you know, the New King James says, don't be unwise. You know, basically, you know, Paul is saying, hey, you know, guys, wisdom. You know, walk in wisdom. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we can be sure of this. If God tells us to understand something, right, where he's telling us not to be, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If he's telling us to understand something, guess what? He's going to provide what we need in order to understand it. He's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do or that's impossible for you to do, right? That's why he's given us his spirit. He's filled us with his Holy Spirit, and he's given us his word. He's given us what we need. We need to utilize it. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying that, you know, God did this, God did that. And, you know, I'm not going to say they're wrong, but a lot of times people that that say that a lot really are, you know, they're just not understanding, you know, what they're really saying. And, you know, and I don't know how confident they are in that, you know, as far as really knowing that that's what God's doing or wanting to do with them. But anyway, I don't want to get off on that yet. I will be getting off on some things, but not tonight. So Ephesians 5:17 sets the stage for, you know, what we're going to be talking about. Don't be unwise, but understand and know what the will of the Lord is. So the encouragement is not to be unwise. So what does it suggest? To be wise. And it all points to a life of wisdom. You know, read through Proverbs. You know, there's a lot in there about wisdom, and we'll read some of those verses down the line. But the verse doesn't just mean understand what God's will is for your life, though it includes that, for sure. But what Paul really means is take enough time to understand what the concept of God's will is before you attempt to personalize it. Let me read that again. Take enough time to understand what the concept of God's will is before you attempt to personalize it. We need to focus our attention on God before we focus our attention on ourselves. Right? We got to focus our attention on God first before we start focusing on us. You know, it makes a lot of sense. The truth that will set us free requires us first to understand God better, which in turn will allow us to understand God's will better. Right? You have to know God before you can know his will for your life. Then we'll be ready to consider God's will for our lives with the right attitude and the right perspective. So we're going to get to a couple of these questions, and I'm going to just read these questions. I'm going to give you guys an answer that you might not agree with, and that's okay, right? It's okay, but we're not going to have any dialogue about it tonight. If, you know, I guess what the thing I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to irritate you a little bit or just to get you thinking. But then I want you to really go home and really get into the Word. You know, I want you to be a Berean. And, you know, don't just, you know, you might totally agree with me with these questions. If that's the case, then that'll even be nicer. But I think you might have, you know, a problem with a couple of the questions. And it's to get you thinking. When's the last time you sat down and really just thought about this topic? Oh, yeah, I'm going to think about God's will today. I mean, we pray and want to be in God's will, but it's there's a lot more to it. So let's see. So letting the truth of God's word to shine on our understanding of his will so that the steps of our lives might be firmly in the way of wisdom is important. So be a Berean. So there's some motivation here. As we begin to unravel this whole spiritual topic on when it comes to God's will, there's three primary reasons or motives why we need to undertake this study. So here's the first one, and this we'll probably just do this first one tonight. So the first one is because there's so much misunderstanding on the subject, and in case you are still wondering if that's true or not, that's what the point of these questions are, right? To see, or maybe to bear that point and bring it out that there is some misunderstanding for sure on the subject. Okay. Here's the first question. And you can answer quietly to yourself. right? All right. God has a specific plan for my life, which I am to discover and follow. So these are all true or false. So the biblical response to that statement is false. Okay, I'm going to give just a little brief explanation, right? So as we'll see a little later, God does not have a one-track route for your life that has no meaningful choices. Okay, now, I know that there's popular verses that people use to teach that God has this specific plan, like this dot. And you have to get your life on that dot. And if you don't, then you're not in God's will. You miss out on God's will. So the first question, does God have a specific plan for my life, which I am to discover and follow? Okay, false for that one. Okay, number two, God's will can be divided into two categories. God's perfect will and God's permissive will. Now, I'm sure you guys heard these terms before. There's other terms, God's sovereign will, God's moral will, and God's individual will. Pretty, you know, close to these two. They sound meaningful and theological. So you've accepted them as truth, right? People have. They really sound right. But our standard of measurement here is biblical. And according to God's word, this statement is false. What do you guys think so far? Pastor Richard back there looking at me. I'm waiting for him to throw something at me. All right, so I realize that those who use the term are trying to, you know, like try to protect God's reputation. Like he's, you know, they're trying to give him some leeway if things don't work out with people, you know, what they're thinking or, you know, trying to figure it out. You know, but God can protect his own reputation. He doesn't need us to do that, right? So what we have to do is make sure that we're not being foolish by seeking to understand God's will. All right, we need to really, and we're gonna, like these questions, we're gonna really get into them as we go further down. So this is, I mean, like I said, this is just to get you upset or get you excited or just to get you to think about this stuff and get into the Word and seek the Lord. You know, because, you know, you might not agree with some of the things that I'm going to say as we move on, but you know what? You'll have a leg to stand on because you're gonna be in this book. And you're, oh, yeah, you think that's right? Oh, look. And you're, you know, I'm going to incent you to get in this book and prove me wrong, right? But that's a good thing, right? That's what the Bereans did, you know, and, you know, this is just me. When Paul went through Berea, when he, you know, they were saying, hey, wait a minute, let's check out what this guy's saying. You know, so if Paul was okay with being studied and every word that he said by the Bereans to verify it, I'm good with it. All right, number three, little hunches or promptings I feel are God's way of revealing his will to me. Little promptings, little feelings, hunches. But this one's false too. How can we tell the difference in the pit of our stomachs between a holy hunch and something we ate? All right, how can you do it? And here's a little heads up, something that kind of bears out. Most people I've heard talking about these hunches or promptings to discern God's will seem to end up doing what they want to do all along. You know, it's just an excuse to do what I want. And be careful with that. You know, be careful with that. Okay, number four. The key factor in making godly decisions is to have peace about it. All right? Now, I've heard a lot of Christians saying this in a previous statement all the time. People run their lives on peaceful feelings. And yet the Bible's description of God's will and his ways of guidance make this another false statement. This is beginning to look like a pattern, isn't it? A lot of falses. But I'm amazed how often I find people claiming to be completely at peace about something that is directly disobeying what God has clearly said. So obviously it can't be, you know, the will of God. Okay, number five, is it okay to use a fleece in determining God's will? So fleece rhymes with peace, so maybe they go together, right? That was a dumb joke. All right. But that's not only why this is one of another false in our answers of these false answers so far, because God doesn't prescribe it as a way to determine his guidance. Okay? Now, if you're curious about Gideon in Judges chapters 6 through 8, here's the thing to remember as you read that story. If you listen to God's word, shout it out to you. Gideon had already knew God's will before he put out the fleece, right? He heard it from the mouth of the angel of the Lord. The fleece was an unnecessary confirmation that God graciously granted to Gideon. But describing how Gideon used the fleece is a long way from the biblical or the Bible prescribing that as a way to determine God's will. So right now I'm batting 1,000. False, got all these falses. All right. Number six, when faced with two alternatives, I must be careful not to make the wrong decision. Even though they are both good, only one could be God's will. So if I choose the wrong one, I will have to make a good choice outside of God's will. This sounds like sober thinking, but the Bible declares it's false. So I'm going to just comment a little extra on this one, and because we only have one more, and then we're going to stop for the night. You know, we're going to be talking about the way of wisdom. We're going to be talking about, you know, understanding the word of God, you know, walking in wisdom, you know, not being unwise, you know, making it, you know, the assumption that we could walk in wisdom. And this is part of what we're going to look at, and as a little, maybe a sneak preview. My view on this would be, and this is something we could get into next time too, God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word, wisdom. And if we have choices, if in this one instance, you know, this person had two good alternatives. So what if we have two or three? I'm of the opinion that God has given us wisdom. You know, he's given us a brain. He's, you know, so it's like having, when you have a child, there's certain things that child makes decisions, but when they're young, you kind of oversee a lot of that, right? And you're training them up. So for what? So when they get older, they can depend on you for everything still? No. No, when you raise up a child, and if you're the goal is to get them to think on their own, to be able to make good, solid decisions on their own. And that's what God wants of his kids. you know, if you have three choices, God is saying, this is me, this is, I'm not saying God's saying, I'm trying to explain it that way, but he's saying, hey, you know what? There are three good choices. Now you decide. If you're going to buy a house and you got a couple options, okay, well, what one is the best for your situation? And if, you know, then God is saying, okay, fine. You can make that decision. Just like when our oldest daughter first bought her house. You know, I mean, we got her to that point that she could make a good, solid decision, and we were behind it. So that's kind of in a, some of the direction we'll be going in. That, you know, really, we can make decisions in the will of God and not make a decision that is going to, like, totally get us out of the will of God. So little, we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. But we can see that God's word gives us a lot of freedom within God's will. Okay? And then the last one, and this one is just about ministry, full-time ministry. They assume that full-time ministry people need to worry about God's will, while other people say, well, I'm not in full-time ministry, so, you know, that really doesn't have to be a major concern for me about knowing what God's will is. And that's not true. I mean, that's false as well. You know, and even with that, you know, Pastor Rob said it this morning, you know, I mean, he had no idea where he was going to end up. He had no idea God was leading him to where he is today. You know, so it's just, you know, I had no idea. I mean, I never would have thought that I would be doing this, that I never even thought I'd be a Christian, right? God was, that I'm here in God's will, and believe me, most of the trip, I was clueless. Then obviously, once I got saved, I acknowledged God and realized he did have a will, but still, I wasn't looking for this. God was leading me in this direction. And I hope I'm not confusing you guys with this, but, you know, sometimes it's just the choices that we make. I was just serving the Lord. I was just doing whatever God put on my heart, and I knew it was him. I was just moving forward, and the leadership recognized that and said, oh, this, look what's going on here in this guy's life. You know, but God, you know, God had it all planned out. But what's important, I was in God's will by doing what he wanted me to do. And that was what I was doing, what I was getting out of this book. And it got to the point where I ended up in ministry. You know, sometimes the best thing to do is just know that it's God's will for us to be in the word, to put this word in our heart and to live it out the best we can, and, you know, just work at it day in and day out. You know, that's where it all starts. And God will speak to your heart, and you'll know when it's God, right? Because if it doesn't line up with this, you know for sure it's not. But we're going to get into some of the nuts and bolts of decision-making in the will of God, knowing that we can make good, solid decisions in God's will. And I think it's healthy for us to be able to understand that and know that. So next week we'll look at the second motivation, and well, there's two left, and then we're going to get right into the sovereign will of God and the moral will of God, and we're going to talk about some of the deficiencies with the individual will of God. So we're going to get into that as we move along. And like I said, next time I'll have a printout of some of the research, some of the books that I use to kind of put this together outside of the Bible. And they're pretty solid books. I think you guys will enjoy it. One's about this thick, though, so it took me a while to get through that. But let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you for just who you are. And Lord, help us to really just to grow more in you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would just continue to put our whole heart into our desire, our time with you, Lord, that we would just have a burning desire to know you, to know you more. And Lord, help us to not only know it, but to know it to where we're putting it into practice, you know, where it becomes from wisdom and into our heart as practical application, to where we're walking in the light more than we ever have been before. And Lord, I thank you for just our relationships with you, God, that you would bless our efforts, that Lord, we would, as we seek you, God, that you would be found, that we would, Lord, continue to grow in our relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that you would change us, just continue to change us and mold us and shape us into the image of your Son. And I pray, Lord, that we would yield more and more to that. And I know, Lord, a lot of times that, you know, I just don't yield to what you're doing. And it just kind of complicates the whole situation, Lord. So help us. Help us, Lord, to just give in to what you're doing. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't fight with you with things, that, you know, we wouldn't be lazy, Lord, that we would just be excited about who you are and the ability, and, you know, the ability we have to have a relationship with you. So God, do that work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would just continue to look in your word and really just find your guidance, your direction, your wisdom, Lord, so we can make good decisions in your will. So we thank you for these things. Get us home safe. We pray for traveling mercies, Lord, for us as we leave here to head home. And should you tarry, Lord, we pray for just another day with you, Lord, that you would just show yourself real and alive in our lives, Lord. We're just so awesome. Thank you, God. And we just put it all before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.